I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, some people come late because they hate them. But I guess most cinema goers quite enjoy the trailers for upcoming releases. It's almost an art form in itself, sometimes trying to make a mediocre film look better than it is. And has that art changed over the years? Esther McCarthy has been having a look at this for us. Afternoon, Esther.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
When they make a trailer, has it got? Is it the case where the film's made, the director and all the cast have gone off to the next thing, and then they get somebody else to just cut up bits of the film and make the trailer?
Yeah, exactly that. It would be involved at the promotional stage. So the very, very last stage of making a film. It's argued that you make film three times, one at the script, two when you're actually making the film, and third time in the edit. So, you know, the editing of the trailer comes after that again. But I think a really great trailer is one that feeds into the spirit of the film and doesn't give away too much. Some of the modern trailers can almost feel like synopses of the films, which I really hate.
Yeah, so the director per se perhaps doesn't have control over what goes into the trailer. It would be a producer.
Yeah, it would be producer, it would be marketing people. It would be that appalling thing known as focus groups, which follow test screenings and stuff like that to see. There's a thing in Hollywood called four quadrant marketing, which is trying to reach the broadest audience possible. And that's what they're trying to do with a trailer. Of course, filmmakers who are more auteurs, like say people like Yorgos Lanthimos, or even back in the old days, people like Orson Welles had some creative control over their trailers. In fact, actually, Citizen Kane's Welles classic begins with Welles himself speaking to the audience and introducing Citizen Kane and the characters. So the auteurs tend to have more creative control, but otherwise it can be studio driven, you know, and trying to appeal to a wide audience. And it's crucial because, like, the amount of power and leverage, I think in the era of social media, a trailer has more power than it ever did, you know?
Yeah.
Like in 2024, Deadpool and Wolverine, one of them are one of the comic books.
Yeah, it's one of the comic books, as Esther was correctly pointing out there, but she's not with us anymore to tell us about that particular comic book. Oh, she's there. Okay. Esther, are you there? Hello, Esther.
Hi, Sean.
Hi. How are you? Yeah, oh, there you are. Sorry. Yeah, they could all hear you. I couldn't. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Deadpool and Wolverine. You were saying
so
about
Deadpool
that trailer.
Deadpool and Wolverine, in 2024, became the most viewed trailer of all time in its first 24 hours. That was 365 million views. So, like, that will give you some sense of the audience potential and draw. And I think they become events now. In fact, the modern style has a little mini trailer before a trailer. So you're now getting a trailer before the trailer.
Yeah, and they often have trailers. And in the Marvel universe as well, you have to sit through the all the credits, and then there might be something at the end to tell you about something that's coming next as well.
Yeah, slightly different to a trailer, but absolutely feeding into what audiences can expect next. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's become a big thing.
But sometimes you see a trailer and you just know from the trailer, I've just seen the best bits of this film. You can just smell it off them.
You can, can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is, especially in the case of comedy, I think if you've heard all the funny bits already and you go and see a film, that can be really underwhelming then. I think particularly in comedy, I think the great, great trailers should intrigue you, make you curious. A great tune helps, I think. I went to see girls' choir in the Olympia, a Belgian girls' choir in concert, on the basis of their use of Radiohead's Creep in the Social Network trailer.
Oh,
I thought it was astonishing the way that music built. And to hear such a rock song sung by a girls choir. I thought it was really clever use of music. And I think it was a great trailer as well, because the music feeds into the build up of the Social Network story.
Yeah.
I think as well, like, the Mission Impossible theme tune has been really successful in making those trailers iconic. And it always helps that they have a great sense of fun, and they try and out-brash each other in terms of the audacious, you know, building that Tom Cruise is going to climb up this time. And they tease that love beautifully, I think, the Mission Impossible trailers. A personal favourite for me is Spike Jonze's trailer for Adaptation. A wonderful film from starring Nicolas Cage from a couple of decades ago. That uses Under Pressure, David Bowie and Queen. And I think it builds in, you know, within 10 seconds into that trailer as well, that the character has an internal monologue and he is deeply underconfident, and it plays with that really beautifully. It tells you so much about the film, I think, the Adaptation trailer, without giving away too much in terms of spoilers, you know. And then the Coens are great as well. The Coens are always great for good trailers. And Burn After Reading is a favourite of mine. With Brad Pitt being so funny, I was only reminded of how funny he is in that film when I was watching the trailer last night. So the ones I really hate then are the ones that give away everything.
Yes.
I mean, it drives me mad. I remember not watching trailers for a couple of years after seeing a trailer for Alexander Payne's film, The Descendants. That was his first film, I think, since Sideways. So I was very excited for it. And in the trailer, they give away a huge reveal that totally changes the narrative direction of the film and doesn't come until about 40 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
Like, just criminal to my mind. And again, why, you know, why such a good indie American filmmaker would have passed on that, I do not understand.
Yeah. Now, the trailer for Castaway, the Tom Hanks film, would you even need to watch the film?
I mean, you save yourself 2 hours, I suppose you could look at it that way. It leaves you no doubt, really. You know, it doesn't exactly signpost everything, but it leaves you no doubt about whether Tom Hanks is getting off that island or not. And that just sucks all the narrative tension out of the film, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
What's the point of that? Now, the trailer for Star Trek Beyond is a 2016 movie. Did that do a disservice to the movie?
I think they can, you know. I think, like, there was the Star Wars trailer as well, the original Star Wars trailer in 1975. Like, that is regarded as iconic now, but when you actually look at it, it's, you know, a little bit clunky and a little bit awkward. I wonder, was it the technology of time? But the editing in some of those earlier trailers, 1970s kind of trailers, can be just a little bit uneven or something, you know. So I think often trailers can do a film a disservice. That is not unusual at all, I think.
Yeah. Esther, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was Esther McCarthy, the film critic there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.